News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Now, we were talking at the top of the show and about the states or the government's bid to get a seat on the UN Security Council, and you two launched our campaign on Sunday for that seat. But are we wasting our time and money even looking to take a seat at the top table? Now, joining us to discuss this is Eamon Delaney, former diplomat and director of the Hibernia Forum. Eamon Delaney, are you jumping up and down with excitement about this great campaign? Are you really looking forward to us taking 2 years on the Security Council?
Not really, Paul, no. I mean, I think I would share what I anticipated already is your scepticism. And I wrote about this back well over a year ago when it first was kind of signposted and we diverted some of our most important ambassadors out of key locations like London and Paris, where with Brexit absolutely on the horizon and needing all attention. They were being moved to New York to work on this campaign, and I wrote a piece saying, for the Irish Independent, saying that, you know, why were we doing this? Why were we taking our best men and women out of their posts to work on it? And why really are we going on to the Security Council of the UN? Why do we want this?
Actually, but just laying that out the way you did, I remember reading that piece, Eamon. It was a great piece. The thing is this, we are diverting diplomats. When you put it in that context, we're moving diplomats from the most sensitive thing in our world at the moment is Brexit. We're moving guys around, shifting people around so that we can secure ourselves a space on the Security Council. What exactly are we going to do on it?
Well, it's a vanity project, really. I mean, there is some goodwill behind it in terms of the legacy of Irish foreign policy, which was we are a small country. We didn't colonise anyone. We are supposedly neutral. We're not really neutral. We know that. It's Shannon stopover and all the rest of it for the US military. But we're there, little plucky Ireland, standing up for small nations and human rights and all the rest of it. But that era has gone. You know, Ireland is very much now an EU super state member. It's a big, it's a rich country. We're going into our second Celtic Tiger boom, if you like, in 10, 15 years. And anyway, what distinguishes our foreign policy from the EU's is hard to find. You know, I mean, why do we want to be there with Bono playing music to get us there as a special Irish, you know, defined brand, when in fact...
I just want to cut you there about you too, right? Just want to ask you this while you throw it in there. I love you too, and I know the guys in the band, brilliant, everything brilliant about them. Well, but here's the thing, okay, look, what did you think about using you two, though, to lobby for us to get a position on such a sensitive international... by inviting... Were we bribing, by the way, all those UN ambassadors with free tickets to a gig?
We were, and when you put it like that, it's not even bribing, Paul. It's just kind of crass. And I heard Anne Anderson, former ambassador to the UN for Ireland, actually on another radio station yesterday, and she couldn't really answer when it was put to her very probingly as what exactly would Bono's singing do to sway? Like, it's one thing to go into a room and say, look, we're Ireland, and, you know, we blue helmet peacekeepers, and by the way, I think we have much more effect in terms of brand and image with that kind of boots on the ground approach than diplomats over in New York making decisions which will be forgotten about later on in the broader sphere of things. But anyway, in that context, why Bono's Madison Square Garden? It's sort of like an idea that came out of Leo's team, I think, a kind of bombastic, we're so big, hip and trendy, let's have you two play toward the ambassadors. But really, this is not a reason for us to put you on a security council. It's very serious operation. I mean, I think we should explain very quickly to your listeners, like, because there's been a lot of confusion in, again, other more erroneous radio stations than your own, of course, which would never get things wrong. Let's just say a Sunday show last Sunday where it was talk of 10 members and some were permanent, some weren't, and it was all over the shop. So just to be very clear, there are 15 members. All the key decisions at the UN are made at the Security Council. The General Assembly, which is where all the nations of the world sit in that big room, that's really a talking shop. It's a very good talking shop, and they come for resolutions. But the Security Council is where decisions are made. There are 10 members, and 5 are permanent, and then the victors of World War II, so France,
France, China, UK, Russia, and US.
There's another separate debate, which we don't have time for here, as to whether the Brits and the French should be on it permanently anymore, given Brexit for Britain and also for both of them.
By the way, I just want to say something to you there. You know, you might have heard
Go on.
So finish.
It's just to finish that. So that's where. So being on it is an uncomfortable place to be. Ireland just came off it, I think, before 9/11 or the Iraq War. It's not a good place to be. There's nothing in it. Of course, you do get a lot of extra aid from the Americans and others, and that may be what the government's thinking of. But in terms of a project that people will remember afterwards, oh, Ireland was there when they made a decision. It just doesn't happen.
It's not going to make a difference to the man down in Ballyporeen who's taking a voting for the next. We are owed a lot of money by the UN for our cumulative efforts on UN missions around the world with our soldiers.
Is that right? I wouldn't be surprised. Right. Yeah, I mean, a lot of countries are owed money by the UN. I mean, look, UN is a good organisation. I mean, I said this yesterday. I was talking to BBC Northern Ireland, actually. They were taking the angle about Britain and the permanent seat. And I made the case, because there were a lot of naysayers, that broadly speaking, we know about all the faults, all the limits, all the things that haven't gone well. But broadly speaking, around the world, they stop much more conflict than they create. And if it wasn't there, Paul, big rooms, I sat there for three long sessions and doing the crossword under the desk, you know. Well,
but this is one of the old sayings that you'll only miss it when it's gone. By the way, just very briefly and finally, the idea came into my head there. It's like a bit like our Rugby World Cup application in a way, this prestige factor. And we didn't get that and we pulled out all the stops. We're up against now either Norway or Canada.
That's right.
I would put my money on Canada, first of all, because it's the big, big player in the room, isn't that right? So it's also up against Norway. Which one would you put your money on?
I would put my money on Norway. I mean, they're out-and-out favourites. And the other thing is they're giving it, like, that's their sole mission. You know, this is why I find it so puzzling. We've got to fight Brexit and prepare for that. We've got lots of other things to deal with. Whereas Norway, with huge reserves and, you know, their pension, the oil sovereign wealth funds and all the rest of it, they're absolutely set on it.
But Eamon, they don't have a U2.
Well, they don't.
Maybe Sweden were going for this to bring ABBA back to play. Okay, we'll leave it there. Yeah, sorry, you're
fine. Exactly. The only thing is I've come around somewhat to seeing the merit of us creating new alliances post-Brexit, but I think they're to be done one-to-one and economically and not through New York and the UN where we lose our identity.
Okay,
you know?
We leave there. Okay. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Eamon Delaney, former diplomat and director of the Hibernia Forum. Thanks very much for that.